Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. And what day is it? Come on, everybody. What day is it? It's hump day. I think that commercial is so, so funny. I'm glad you all joined me today. A while back, we had a really, really bad hurricane, and it struck Jersey and places like that. It was devastating, devastating. And people in New Jersey and on the shore are still fighting to get their lives back. Forget their properties, because most of them are gone. But their lives, some semblance of normalcy. Sometimes that seems like such a given, and other times it seems so unachievable. Because of things that have happened in my life in the last 4 or 5 years, I have reason to be friends with quite a few people in the Jersey area. And way back when, this was the end of October, the beginning of November in 2012, that Sandy hit that coast. And I have a friend who has this hotel in Jersey, just outside on a main road, sits up on a hill. He sent me a big picture of it and some information about it. And back in its heyday, it was quite a place. It has quite a bit of sleeping space. It has a huge kitchen. It has a sizable parking lot for any number of cars and RVs and what have you. So I called him. He said, as long as it doesn't cost me any additional money, if you can find somebody who wants to use this or utilize this to help house some of the people that have been displaced, go ahead, Renee. So I started emailing, calling, getting on different websites, finding out the names of people, trying to figure out a way to help. And you know, no one, and I mean no one, answered my emails, no one answered my calls, no one paid any attention to what I was offering. Now, if you'll remember last week, we talked a little bit about the state of homelessness and what's going on out there and how terrible it is for some people. And yet we drive around and we see all these empty properties, businesses and homes. And I did that last night. I picked up one of the kids from football, and somebody had called me about a house that's over here, I don't know, like maybe 5 or 6 blocks away from where I live now. And they asked me to look at it and see what I thought. So I drove down one of our many, many dirt roads. And after all the rain yesterday, it's pretty messy out here. But I found the house that they were telling me about, and I found 3 others on the same street that are just abandoned. It's heartbreaking to think that there are people with no place to go, no place to live, no place to sleep sometimes. And yet we have all these shells, empty shells, that could house anyone. I want to bring in Shelley, because I'm going to read some stuff this morning, and I want her to be able to interject when she thinks it's necessary. I'd also like to say good morning to my daughter-in-law, Valerie, who I see is listening. Valerie had surgery this week and is doing great, and I hope you're feeling good this morning, Val, and I will talk to you later. So I'm going to bring in Shelley. Good morning, Miss Shelley.
Well, good morning, Renee.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Well, yesterday on Facebook, I did some correspondence and I read, you know, Facebook is legally looking into the lives of everybody and being nosy, which apparently I enjoy because I do it every day.
right.
So... So I was reading some stuff that is posted, and a lot of people include me. So this is about Hurricane Sandy, and even though we're still a good month and a few days away from the anniversary of Hurricane Sandy, there's still lots of things going on in New Jersey and lots of people trying to sort through the horrendous aftermath of a huge hurricane like that. The damage that was caused by Sandy is still in disrepair, is still a mess. So I, like I said, I kind of perused some of the sites people sent me and looked to see what people are doing, and there are still people that have no place to go. One
wow.
friend that I made a few years ago, because she is really good with the computer, and she friended me when my grandson was hurt, and she was a major advocate, and we've become good friends. She has since moved to Florida, a little bit further south, and has gotten back on her feet with the help of friends and family. And she and her husband are okay, but she still has property sitting in Jersey that's been, for all intents and purposes, condemned, but nobody will settle anything. Nobody will pay people for the land and use it for city projects. No one wants to buy the damaged homes. Money is not free-flowing, obviously, because of all the damage in Jersey. So everybody is stuck in a state of limbo. And it's really gotten awful. So I thought to start out this morning, and this may continue into a few more shows, but I do want to go to a site that I found that talks about the actual facts in regard to Sandy. And it's devastatingly, just awful. As I said, when I saw it on the news, I did try to do something because they kept interviewing people that were okay, and then they'd shoot to the Jersey Shore, and there'd be all these people, nobody's come to see us yet, we don't even have water, we don't have this, and I'm like, what the hell's everybody doing? You know, how can they forget about part of the people? You know,
I know. That
just floored me, and there was a lot of that on the news, a lot of the people that were still patiently waiting for the big trucks with fresh water and fresh food and all that kind of stuff, and they weren't getting everywhere. And I'm not going to rip them apart today. I wasn't there, and that would be very unfair of me because it sounds like the challenges were great. So rather than add to the devastation by just finding fault and judging how it was handled, I'd really like to go through the facts, and then I'm going to read you some things that are from some of the people themselves on this site, and let's see if we can put something out there that can speed things up or help some of these people, you know, be able to have some closure to
right.
this awful part in their life. Hurricane Sandy actually wreaked havoc from October 22nd to November 5th in 2012. It was a post-tropical cyclone. It killed 117 people in the United States and 69 more in Canada and in the Caribbean. The death toll in the U.S. includes 53 in New York State, 34 in New Jersey, 12 in Pennsylvania, 6 in West Virginia, and 4 in Connecticut, and 1 in Maryland, and 7 elsewhere in the U.S. Hurricane Hunter aircraft measured Sandy's central pressure at 940 millibars at 27.76 inches, the lowest barometric reading ever recorded for an Atlantic storm to make landfall north of Cape Hatteras, North Carolina. The previous record holder was in 1938, Long Island Express hurricane, which dropped as low as 946 millibars. That almost makes the air seem like it's not alive anymore, you know, when it gets that low. On October 29th, the surge level at Battery Park in New York tops 13.88 feet at 9:24 p.m., surpassing the old record of 10.2 feet set by Hurricane Donna in 1960. I was in Ithaca, New York during Hurricane Donna, and that's way outside of New York City, but that was still devastating in Ithaca and places like that, the smaller towns outside of New York City. New York's harbor surf reaches a record level when a buoy measures 32.5 feet in a wave. That wave is 6 foot taller than a 25-foot wave churned up by Hurricane Irene in 2011. So the timeline goes, October 22nd, Sandy develops into a tropical storm in the Caribbean Sea. The 23rd, it develops into a Category 1 hurricane. By the 24th, it's made landfall in southeastern Cuba as a Category 2 with 105-mile-an-hour winds. By the 25th, it hits Haiti, killing 51 people. By the 26th of October, it's a Category 1 with winds of 80 miles per hour. New York, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania, and North Carolina declare a state of emergency. The governor of Maine signs a limited emergency declaration that will allow power crews from other states and or Canada to help Maine prepare for Sandy. I want to do a side note on that. I didn't realize that we did that until I think it was 2005 when we had all the hurricanes here. Does that sound right, Shelley? 2005 or 2004?
The hurricanes that whomped us were 2004, 2005. It was 2 years back to back.
Well, that's when I realized.
Yeah, the one in 2005 was the one that was the most devastating because it sat on us for like 24 hours.
Right, and that's what caused all the electric damage. And that's
right.
When we met all the crews that came from other states, and I just thought that was awesome. I loved the way that pulled together. That was a major plus for the powers that be in regard to getting people up and running again. So they declared that and has a limited emergency declaration that will allow that for other power crews from other states. I imagine there has to be some kind of a declaration like that because of insurances and things like that. So October 27th, the National Weather Service downgrades Sandy to a tropical storm. Sandy strengthens to a Category 1 hurricane with sustained winds of 75 miles an hour. New Jersey, Connecticut, and Massachusetts declare states of emergency. New Jersey Governor Christie orders residents living in the barrier islands from Sandy Hook south to Cape May to evacuate. He orders the casinos to evacuate no later than 4 p.m. on Sunday. Amtrak cancels several of its runs and that originate or end in East Coast stations. By October 28th, New York's Metropolitan Transportation Authority suspends subway and commuter rail services at 7 p.m. Bus services are also suspended. Governor Cuomo, I never know how to say it. I'm going to call him Governor Andrew. I never can say his name right.
Works.
Huh?
That
Cuomo.
Works.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cuomo. Yeah.
Cuomo, yeah. Directs Army and Air National Guard members to mobilize. Mayor Michael Bloomberg in New York City orders evacuations in low-lying areas of New York City and public school closures. Rhode Island declares a state of emergency. President Barack Obama declares a state of emergency in Connecticut, D.C., Delaware, Maryland, Massachusetts, New York, and Rhode Island. The Broadway League cancels all Broadway performances for Sunday and Monday nights. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey suspends all of its train service at midnight until further notice. Airlines cancel flights. Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority suspends all services. On October 29th, Sandy approaches land as a Category 2 storm. the New York Stock Exchange suspends all trading operations. Hurricane force winds extend 175 miles out from Sandy's eye. That's a very large hurricane, making it much larger than most storms of its type. U.S. federal offices in Washington, D.C., area closed to the public. United Nations headquarters in Manhattan closes. Metro's closed. Commuters are closed. West Virginia Governor Earl Ray Tomlin declares a state of emergency due to snow and rain. I didn't even realize that, but that makes sense. Snow and rain from Hurricane Sandy. 6,700 National Guard are on active duty or in the process of activating to support governors of the states affected by Hurricane Sandy. Hurricane Sandy weakens to a post-tropical cyclone in the evening before making landfall along the coast of southern New Jersey. At least 110 homes burned to the ground in the Breezy Point neighborhood of Queens, New York. The cause of the blaze is not immediately released. Three reactors experienced trips or shutdowns during the storm, according to a Nuclear Regulatory Commission statement. By the 30th of October, the New York Stock Exchange remains closed for the second consecutive day, the first time this has happened because of weather since 1888. Kennedy Airport reopens for some airlines to land planes beginning at 10 p.m. New York's LaGuardia and Newark Liberty International Airports remain closed due to storm damage. 7.9 million businesses and households are without electric power in 15 states and the District of Columbia.
Wow.
9,000 people in 13 states spent the night in 171 Red Cross operating shelters. The Red Cross reports that 300 blood drives are canceled due to the storm. The majority of 1,400 guardsmen in Massachusetts activated for Hurricane Sandy began the process of returning to their home stations. Helicopters perform rooftop rescues of five adults and one child trapped in houses on Staten Island due to rising waters. National Guard arrives in Hoboken, New Jersey. By Halloween of 2012, the 31st, the New York Stock Exchange reopens after being shut down for 2 days. Mayor Bloomberg rings the opening bell. John F. Kennedy and Newark Liberty International Airports reopen at 7 a.m. with limited service. Hoboken, the federal agencies in Washington, D.C., everything starts opening up. Storm-related outages are down to just over 6.3 million. Just over. President Obama and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie tour the storm-damaged area near Atlantic City. New York's Bellevue Hospital, one of the nation's largest hospitals, begins evacuating the more than 725 patients after an investigation reveals the damage sustained is extensive. By November, 4.8 million customers remain without power in 15 states and the District of Columbia. Airports are open. Theaters on Broadway reopen. By November 2nd, areas hit by Sandy are still experiencing gas shortage problems due to gas stations without electrical power. According to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Business Civil Leadership Center, businesses have contributed more than $33 million in donations. The New York City Marathon, scheduled for November 4th, is canceled. 3.3 million customers remain without power. Con Edison restores power to approximately 460,000 out of the 910,000 customers who were impacted. The U.S. Energy Information Administration reports that approximately 67% of gas stations in metropolitan New York do not have gas. Gas rationing begins in 12 New Jersey counties. Con Edison is working constantly and every day gives an update on how many people have had their power replaced. I'm going to go all the way up to November 7th, which is what, like 10 days now, or 12
right.
days. The death toll in New York State rises to 48 after a man succumbs to his injuries. More than 600,000 people are still without power. This is November 7th. Governor Cuomo fires his chief of emergency management after the employee allegedly used government workers to clear a tree from his driveway in Long Island during the hurricane. Oh, my God, how petty. The Red Cross announces they had raised nearly $103 million in donations for Sandy's victims. More than 352,000 people have registered for assistance, and more than $403 million have been approved for FEMA assistance. Over 71,000 applicants are eligible for more than $385 million in housing assistance. Now, see, those are awfully big numbers, don't you think? I mean, that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. I mean, how many times does, say, $50,000 go into $385 million? I'm 71,000 applicants. So 71,000 into $385 million. We're talking about a lot of money, aren't we?
Yep. Yep.
A nor'easter, a strong low-pressure system with powerful northeasterly winds coming in from the ocean ahead of a storm, hits the areas already damaged by Sandy. Gas rationing, the death toll in New York State rises to 50. I mean, it keeps compounding, and as I go down through here, the money changes in leaps and bounds. And of course, I don't know if there's ever any kind of accountability, but the fact of the matter, this last statement, this last paragraph, that's on February 12th, 2013, I'm going to read this, and then we're going to go to some of the private things that I have. According to a report released by the National Hurricane Center, Sandy is expected to rank as the second costliest tropical cyclone on record after Hurricane Katrina of 2005, and will probably be the sixth costliest cyclone when adjusting for inflation, population, and wealth normalization factors. The report indicates Sandy is also the deadliest U.S. cyclone outside of the southern states since Hurricane Agnes of 1972. I remember that one as well.
New York
Governor Cuomo announces that his administration has sent letters to various banks and mortgage service providers asking them to use maximum discretion and effort to speed the release of funds. According to Cuomo, banks are holding more than $200 million in insurance payments meant for Sandy victims. $200 million. Now, when I read some of these things that, like I say, have come to me because there's a group of people that have kind of banded together and put themselves in a place that is kind of, I don't know, standing up for their rights, maybe fighting for a little bit of help. There was a conversation started that kind of tells everybody what is going on. There was like 85 people on, and I interjected last night and said I would love to be able to help in some way. So they opened up the door for me so that I could be a part of what they've got going on. Now, there's a petition going around, and I'm going to read this to you, and then we'll talk about this. Hi, all I need is to ask a favor. Would you please sign this petition and help me spread the word about it? In a group, a page, and with your friends. Even though I no longer live there, I still care, and I still own property there on Union Beach, New Jersey. They are working so hard to get back into their homes. As one girl said, it is time for us to get off the hamster wheel and go home. Now, there's a petition that's on my Facebook page, and any of you that would like to go to it and sign it would be awesome. FEMA and the state cannot help the residents and businesses of Union Beach and neighboring towns out, but they can rebuild the seaside boardwalk with Sandy money. Now, that's a personal side note from an individual. FEMA and the state cannot help the town of Union Beach demolish the final 101 homes in town that had to be torn down, but they can use Sandy aid money to tear down and clean up the seaside boardwalk. Of course, this is income. This is going to generate income. That's obviously the point. It has been 322 days since Sandy devastated us, and we are pretty much left with no solutions or answers despite traversing every path possible. FEMA, insurance, grants, and so on. Yet it has been 5 days since the Seaside fire, and they've already promised to be cleaned up and rebuilt with the money that should have been designated to us. FEMA and the state cannot help the residents and the businesses of Union Beach and neighboring towns out, but they can rebuild the Seaside boardwalk with Sandy money. We cannot let Chris Christie and the current administrations continue to overlook Sandy victims that are residents as opposed to businesses, and businesses in non-tourist towns, Union Beach as opposed to Seaside. We've waited months of living in hotels, apartments, garages, remnants of homes, extended stays with relatives, and so on, with no answers. Just to learn that money was being held back and is now being given to businesses that bring the likes of the MTV Jersey Shore crowd. This is not right, and we cannot let them get away with this. Thank you, and God bless. There's another site about the boardwalk fire, and there's many people. As I said, this site has got 85 members. I'm going to read a little bit about this fire so that everybody's aware of, if this fire was electrical, then someone was negligent when it came to the electricity that caused the fire. The negligent individual or corporation is responsible for damages resulting from the negligence. On top of that, unlike flood damage from Sandy, this fire is a covered loss on any insurance policy. Why would federal aid be diverted to a covered loss or cover someone's negligence? If a penny of federal Sandy relief is diverted to private fire loss, I will bring I don't know what this is, maybe you do, Shelley, key TAM action against any and all parties involved in submitting a false claim to the federal government. You have been warned, Governor. Seaside Boardwalk fire linked to Sandy damaged wiring, northjersey.com. So again, this is this goes on and on, and a lot of people are upset, so they're unloading a little bit. And
when did the fires actually take place?
The fire was recently. The fire just happened recently, and it's after something has been repaired there. It's after there was some work done on the electric in the building itself, and a fire started. So instead of instead of going forward with what should be done, they're actually taking some of the funds that was raised to help them who are still in limbo. As I said, it's pretty sad. This is another. This is very well written. And I want to, I want everybody to hear this. This is from a survivor in Jersey. We need help for the thousands still struggling to get straight answers from their insurance companies. After the devastation from Sandy, it's almost a year, and they want to get back home or back to business. So let's stop right there. That means that after almost a year, we're short, a month and a week, maybe 5 weeks, until the end of October. Today is the 18th of September, so let's say 6 weeks. 6 weeks away from the anniversary. And insurance companies, which, of course, we could discuss insurance companies until I'm 75 and still not have the kind of answers that we need. I'm still confused about how they're regulated and what kind of rules and what kind of bylaws they have to follow when it comes to answering claims, because sometimes they're amazingly efficient and other times it's like, you know, they don't have the funds anymore or they don't have the money to back up the promises they've made. I have to make that assumption because I can't imagine somebody hanging on to money if it's sitting there in the bank and not giving it to the people who've been paying hard-earned cash for all these years to cover themselves with the policy.
Right.
I can think is that there's no cash available. And very sadly, I'm probably right. So anyway, so it's been almost a year, and we're not just talking about FEMA. Now we're talking about personal policies. Jacobs Bay, the truth of the matter is if the insurance companies would be held accountable and pay what is fair, we would not need the grants. There is a reason why they are not being pressured. It is pathetic. Without a doubt in my mind, the lobbyists and the insurance companies are calling the shots. Pathetic. Governor Chris Christie. The following is a post from a lady who lives in Jacobs Bay. Perplexed. I am trying to understand what is happening here. On October 29th, Jersey Coast is hit by a superstorm named Sandy. For all intention purposes, it is the storm of a century. It is unique as it comes. Unfortunately, its uniqueness has devastating effects to our coast. Not only devastating, but debilitating. Thank the good Lord that our first responders are as passionate as they are loyal. Yeah, there was a lot of good talk about the people that were actually working the front lines. We united as a community. We helped anyone and everyone. We actually felt good about helping. It became infectious. It became our way of coping. Sadly, the agencies that you would have thought would help fell short. Blessed that the churches and private sector stepped in. They also had the mentality of just helping. They, too, became infectious with their mission, helping anyone and everyone. For the record, they still are. We are rapidly approaching the first-year anniversary. For most, we are not closer than we were 323 days ago into figuring out and how to navigate through this awful bureaucratic mess. If you ask me, we're worse off. We should be rebuilding. We should have answers. We should be much further along than we actually are. We have been through the mill with insurance adjusters, FEMA requirements, grant paperwork, SBA, Small Business Association paperwork, denial letters, height elevations, loans, private adjusters, lawyers, denial letters, and the overwhelming continuous appeals to anyone and everyone. I will cautiously admit I was trying to understand the rebuild of the shore / boardwalk. I thought, well, it's getting many back to work, people who perhaps lost not only their homes but their jobs. It will help with the revenue of the state. I also tried to look at the positive side. If they could rebuild that area as fast as they did, then they can help everyone else get back to where they belong just as fast. I thought this also would be infectious. I thought that the rebuild would keep on going. It would be that snowball effect. I thought wrong. Listening to the news today, Seaside fire victims feel optimistic about the process the second time around. That the process should be much easier than the process they endured from Sandy. But they will be offered grant money for Sandy disaster funding? I thought that when there is a fire, you get full coverage, contents, and structure. I'm not sure how the funding from Sandy Relief can go towards a fire. The things that make you go, I have heard many say, get in line, especially since you were first after Sandy, and it's time for others to be fixed, you got to wait. I am not saying that they are not hurting. Of course they are. I am not saying let's be fair about I am saying let's be fair about this rebuild process. If grant money is set aside for Sandy, then maybe it should stay with Sandy victims. The insurances won't be fighting wind versus flood. It is fire It is full coverage, correct? I am perplexed. Am I missing something? Isn't that an awesome letter?
Well, you know, I mean, everybody made very, very good points, you know. The only thing is the electrical issue, and again, I don't know enough about it, but I think these people probably do, but I'm just going to make one comment. If the, see, I don't know who did the reconstruction in that area where the fire was. Now, if it was independent contractors, then the insurances should pick it up. But if it was any FEMA agency that came in and did the repair and it was faulty, then I think FEMA would be responsible for the repair. So that's the only piece that I'm missing here is who did the electrical repair that now went faulty. And that's going to tell you whether or not it has to be grant money, federal grant money, or whether it this is like insurance that would take on because it was a private contractor. I think it depends on who hired it, and that piece of information I didn't hear in any of the articles.
Okay.
But that would be one reason why grant money would be used instead of private insurance money or business insurance money.
Okay, well, let me say this in regard to that comment. Obviously, that's all probably true, but my way of understanding, any kind of government agency, when they organize funding and collections of funding and designate money for one catastrophe, like Hurricane Sandy. Hurricane Sandy was just that. They're calling it a cyclone/hurricane. The money that we talked about in the very first article I read that showed the date by date and all the monies collected and how many people were in trouble and how many millions of dollars were collected by different organizations, including private benefactors, were given to FEMA and given to local Red Crosses and hospitals and things like that to take care of Sandy victims. It should be designated for Sandy's victims regardless of who did the wiring in that house. Whoever did the wiring, whether if it was FEMA, then the people that they send in to do the work should be covered by a liability policy, a workers' compensation policy, all of the above, just like everybody else has to do. And that should cover any poor quality workmanship. The funding, again, that was raised for a particular problem, which was Sandy, should be left for the Sandy victims, especially since they've been in the long line a lot longer, period. They've
right.
been patiently waiting, and to let people step in front of them is a travesty, a travesty.
Yeah, well, that I agree with. Regardless of whether or not the grant money could be used for these electrical repairs or not, that they need to take, like you said, they need to take care of the people that are already in line.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then at the end of the day, like they said, they concentrated on businesses and everything. Now, as a manager and as in my history, a business owner, I can understand the thought process. Let's rebuild. Let's start bringing some more money into our area. And even as this last lady says, she got it. You know, she understood why they made that decision to step over there first and to build the seashore. But it's just like during the hurricane, like what I said, I remembered all those people that they showed in that part of New York and New Jersey, all the people that they kept showing way in the outskirts of Jersey were in big trouble. And they said time and time again, nobody's been here yet. We're still on our own. We still don't have fresh water. We still don't have baby food or formula or diapers for babies. I mean, they were really, really hurting. And luckily, we talk about the media, and in situations like that, I think the media is a godsend because other people get indignant and step up, and then, you know, of course, then the squeaky wheel gets the grease. But
yeah, all right.
That's a hell of a lot of money, honey. That's a hell of a lot of money. And
now,
you and I both know.
When you were saying about the 380, the one figure you said was $385 million, and then I know it went up from there. But that was the one figure that I latched onto, and but I know it increased after that. That was just for New Jersey, or that was for the entire area, including Rhode Island and New York.
That was. Oh, now I'm not going to remember. Wait one second, and I'll go back to that because. It was combined, but the $385 million was one of the smaller numbers. We were up in 450s and things like that. Let me.
Only thing I didn't catch was whether or not that amount of money was allotted for all the damage, like because you said it affected like 15 states, or if that was the amount allotted to New Jersey. I'm thinking that was the amount allotted to all 15 states, but I'm not sure I understood that correctly.
Let me... more than 352,000 people have registered for assistance, and more than $403 million have been approved for FEMA assistance. Over 71,000 applicants are eligible for more than $385 million in housing assistance. These are different amounts of money. These are different pots, so to speak.
Oh, okay.
The
wow.
Red Cross announces that it has raised $103 million in donations for Sandy's victims. So we have 103. We have 506. We have $891,000 of the figures that I just read to you. And then, down here, New Jersey Governor Christie estimates Sandy-related storms to be about $36.8 billion.
Wow.
$29.4 in repair and restoration and $7.4 billion in supplemental mitigation, protection, and prevention coverage. In other words, more policies. New York City Mayor Bloomberg estimates the total public and private losses to New York City to be $19 billion. Approximately $15 billion is for the losses not covered by private insurances. $3.8 billion will be compensated by insured private losses. And then Cuomo says New York State was $41.9 billion, $32.8 billion in repair and restoration costs. $9.1 billion in mitigation and prevention costs. At one point, close to 3 million people in New Jersey were without power. So the Metropolitan Transportation Authority estimates that Sandy cost $5 billion in losses, $4.75 billion in infrastructure damage, and a further $246 million in lost revenue and increased operating costs.
Wow.
So, again, you know... I want to say this very diplomatically. Figures are worked out on paper. And we all know that paper and reality are just that, paper and reality. If I look at this from a common sense point of view, and I think for most of us, we can say this. If people are going by figures that says, I'm going to take Reenie's house, which is assessed at this much money, and they've got insurance coverage to cover them for this much money. then that's how much we're going to write down on this piece of paper is what it's going to cost to replace everything. When in truth, when you're doing something like this and there is all this money out there to be utilized, there are steps you can take so that that much money is not spent again. I'm sure everybody understands that. In a scenario when everybody is looking for work, you get helpers for a smaller amount of money. You get all these people to do certain things, all these people that donated money. You and I both know that when somebody's in trouble, even here, look at things that people did for my Michael. People can be amazing. But the point is that if you write it on paper, if you take the worth of everything in your house and put it on a piece of paper and then add in like people who do the figures and work those things, add in inflation and cost of living and da-da-da-da-da-da, then you become, you know, you get this astronomical figure that isn't necessarily true. So, again, if you were to go through, at this point in time, I believe everybody would have been happy to have somebody just come start building them. If they had a three-bedroom house, a three-bedroom house. They don't care if they have granite sinks and all tiled floors. They just want a place to live. And that could have been done probably for half of the kind of money that they're talking about. Now, I'm sure there's somebody shaking their head at me right now saying, oh, you don't have any idea how much it costs to do this. I do. I've been there and I've done that. And I do realize that everything is astronomical. But I am telling you, when people are without a home, it's just like I said the other day. I bet if I drove through New Jersey right now, Shelley, we'd find houses that were sitting empty that with, you know, like $50,000, we could make beautiful.
That's right. Right. And in
I mean,
some
I'm
cases,
sorry.
In some cases, but I mean, I meet people like handymen every day that you know, they're licensed and insured, they're retired, you know, they put their little ads out on like Yellow Book, I mean, like the Penny Saver or little private newspapers like that. And, you know, they charge a fraction of what a regular electrical companies would do. And they get you up and running, and they do everything. They do plumbing, they do electrical, they do sheetrock, and, you know, and there's so many people like that are looking for work today, you know, for these agencies to go out and collect up these people, you know, and get them at least making the places habitable again. They don't have to be beautiful. They just have to be habitable, you know, and then these people can recover over time and start doing some of the aesthetics. But get them
right,
so that they can get back in their homes and they've got electric and they've got plumbing again and they've taken care of any mildew damage so that these houses aren't sitting for a year. But what's happened to these particular houses that have been sitting for a year? That they're just rotting.
Yeah.
It's going to get to a point where they're not going to be able to repair them.
And let's don't forget something else, because you and I are very aware of this. If you have a house in your neighborhood that is abandoned and has leaks and has gotten wet inside, it is a mound of mildew and spores and
right,
toxic waste. It's
right,
worse than a big pile of shit, everybody. It's worse than a big pile of shit, because shit is organic and it will go back into the earth and actually make the grass nice and green. Spores and mildew and all of the stuff that's sitting in a rotting house is horrible for everybody that's downwind of it. So there's many things.
Well, it gets to the point where it can't be repaired. It gets
exactly
to the point where a building
well,
has to
I'm
be
sure
repaired.
That's where they are now. I'm
yeah,
sure that's where they are now, a year later.
Right, because if you allow the mold and mildew, there's a certain point where you can reverse it. There are companies that come in and, you know, like after there's been some sort of damage or there's been a leak and all of a sudden you find, oh, you have all this mold in an area of your house. There are companies that come in and can eradicate that, but replace the sheetrock. They go in with these UV lights, and it kind of kills all the bacteria or any of the harm, like that black mold that can really wreak havoc
right,
on people's health. They can eradicate that. But when it's throughout the entire structure, the building just has to be condemned. you know, they can do patch repairs in areas of the house where there might have been a leak behind a wall that somebody didn't know about. But if you're talking about the entire house, you know, you get to a point where it's like, what's the point of repairing it? Knock it down and start from scratch, you know? Mm-hmm. So by letting these buildings sit for this long, they've created a more expensive situation to deal with than if they had more of a game plan. And after a year, I don't understand why they haven't gotten into some of these places. A year is a long time.
I don't either. Mm-hmm. Well, and
you know,
just like my friend, you know, she left, as many did, and this is about being able to deal with what's left over. If they would just go through and start demolishing and cleaning up and getting rid of the garbage, that in itself, you know, it's like everything else. We've talked about this on the show a lot of times, how we talk about when we talk to young women and stuff like that, and they're struggling with everything in the outside world. And I say, what's your nest look like? And they go, huh?
Right.
I say, what's your nest
yeah.
look like? Because if your nest isn't good, you're going to struggle on the outside. So these poor people
right.
that are in the middle of all this mess, you know, I can't even imagine. Well, I guess I maybe can if I think about it long enough. Like I said, I've been in some of these positions before. My house burned to the ground many years ago. And starting over is, you know, can be, well, you know, trying at the very least. But doable. It is doable. And you have to stick together and you have to stay strong. But I think a year is a little bit outrageous. And I think by now, at the very least, things should be cleaned up. Maybe not totally rebuilt in a year, but certainly the bad stuff gone so that there's room for some of the good stuff and some fresh air and some, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. And
do you remember what we went through here after the, I forgot what the name of that, I think it might have been Jean, but the last hurricane in 2005 that actually knocked us out for like 3 weeks. Now at my house it came up much sooner, but at Hippocrates they were out for like 3 weeks. The whole area
mm-hmm.
was like the worst hurricane I think other than Andrew, which had hit at like a decade earlier. But we were out for 3 weeks, and if you remember, everybody was showing up. We had guys standing on the street. Remember, we were bringing them in just to help
yep.
clean up
yep.
the property. And some of the guests stayed. Many of them had gone home before the hurricane, but some hunkered down with us. And here they are without electric. But every day we were making the place better. We had teams of our employees there, and everybody's just picking up branches and cleaning up. And so it was happening. It was a big 35-acre campus ground. So it was happening little by little. But every day you came there and you saw a little bit more cleaned up and a little bit more cleaned up. And the guests that were there to heal themselves, they're walking around helping us clean up the campus also. I mean, it was incredible. It was, you know, but if you remember, we had very little outside help. It was like a community effort. I forgot what government agency it was, because it wasn't, I don't believe it was FEMA. But remember, they came in with the big crane because they moved those two huge trees for us that were just humongous. There was no way we were going to move them. And it was right across the driveway going into the back parking lot, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think about that at times, and I have to admit that the operations here in Florida, I mean, a lot of people criticize Florida, but the operations here in Florida were pulled together really well. There was water and baby food literally within a couple of days being made. It was all over the news. People knew where to go, you know. A lot was being put out on the radio. There were signs all over the place. I remember driving down the street, and there were signs telling you where locations were to pick up baby formula and water. Those were the two first things they brought in. But it was a really well thought out. And it's like, why didn't other states pick up on what we did? You know, how is it that one state to another can be so dysfunctional? Like what happened with Katrina. Some of the initial first few day efforts were horrible. They left those people without water. There was ways to get in. There's been a lot of criticism, and that's the only reason why I'm saying it, okay? There was a lot of criticism in the media weeks after because they had the water, and yet the order to release the military to go in to bring the water in wasn't made for two more days. So that, to me, that's a huge red tape snafu. Somebody wasn't paying attention because they had the water there actually, I think it was 2 days before they actually released it to go in. What were they holding it for? I mean, that's horrific. You know?
Well, there's a lot to be said about red tape. You know, red tape binds you. And that's exactly what happens in a lot of cases. The red tape sneaks right out, if you can get a visual of it, sneaking right out from the building that it came from and just binding everybody so that everybody stands there with no arms or legs, just, you know, okay, what do we do next? And that's what red tape does for you. And I understand the need for red tape because we talk about this a lot on the show, too, that, it you know, you have to have rules and you have to have regulations and you have to have protocol. However,
you have to have accountability. Right.
Well, and accountability. Say that again?
No, I said you have to have accountability, and I get that also, but you can't have accountability to the point where it cripples you.
Mm-mm. Well, and a year is just too long. I'm sorry. 330 days, I think, is what the article said, and that's outrageous to make these people, and like they said, that means everything is uprooted. And nobody has their own space. Everybody's sharing space. And if you'll notice, in everything that I read that was personal, they talked about how amazing the people were, the people that were out there standing beside them, which is another opportunity for us to talk about how good we can be, how amazing we can be with our brothers and our sisters, and look at somebody and empathize immediately and step up and roll up our sleeves and do what needs to be done.
Right.
The bureaucracy of it, very sadly, is because of all the red tape. And people are afraid that they're going to get, you know, I mean, that one thing that I read where Christie fired somebody because they came and took a tree out of his driveway and somebody must have seen it and said, oh, he gets preferential treatment and all that kind of stuff. I didn't pay close enough attention to get that, but my sitting here thinking about it, that's probably what happened. Probably somebody said, oh, you get your tree out of your driveway first because you're the mayor. And, of course, well, yeah, it's probably more important for the mayor to get to work today than it is for 10 other people on this street. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow, the rest of you should be taken care of, too. But there should be precedent set for the people that have to answer all the questions and take care of all the business. For me, that, you know, that's silly and that's small-minded for anybody to even go there. However, a year later is outrageous, a year later. And I want to say, if anybody's out there that has any input for this, who would like to help, maybe you've got a great mind and you've got some ideas that you think would help, I'm going to make sure that these two sites are on, these two links are on my Facebook page today. And if anybody has any other questions, they're welcome to call the show anytime this week at 347-989-0352, and when I say anytime, I mean between 7 and 8 a.m. in the mornings, Monday through Friday is when I am here. And let me know if you have any ideas or you think you have any solutions. I think the people in New Jersey and surrounding neighborhoods and stuff would be happy to hear if there's any ideas that could be brought forward. I do want to say very quickly, when you talked about how Florida handled things pretty good. They did, and that's true. But I'm always remembering after Andrew all the mobile homes that were bought, all the trailers, and nobody ever lived in them. There were hundreds of mobile homes bought and put in, I think, in Homestead or one of those places, and they never opened up the door for people to live in them. So that was
what do you mean?
Some.
The state bought them?
Yeah.
The emergency services?
Yeah.
Really?
FEMA bought them, and they just sat there. And nobody utilized them. But they couldn't get through all the red tape. Probably power and zoning and land and, you know, all the, again, the red tape should be, you know, wound up and put it in a closet someplace and only used when you have time to mess with it, you know, because it's just too damn sticky, I guess. So
yeah.
I want to wish everybody a great day today, and it looks like it's going to be another tough thunder and lightning and rainy day here in South Florida.
Yeah.
And but knock on wood, no hurricanes in sight that are going to bother us or come by. So we're grateful for that. But everybody go out there and have a great hump day, and we'll be back tomorrow morning. Bye, Shell. Talk to you tomorrow. I'm going to call you in a little bit anyway.
Yeah, good, 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 'cause I got to talk to you. All right. Everyone
okay.
Have a beautiful
right.
day. And Renee, I'll talk to you in a little while.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks. God bless.
Bye.